As we gather today and we're talking about how to partake in God's work and use the new given facilities, I'm sure that most, if not all, that here that we all pray to God that ask Him how to use Church of Living Grace and how to use every single one of us to so that we can live a life that's more meaningful and have an impact on the society and more purposeful. Last week, I think of those of you who pay attention to the news, I'm sure that you know that one of the very, very useful servants for God, the evangelist Billy Graham, passed away. 99 years old. What a life that he lived. I have no idea how many people have a chance to listen to the gospel because of him. So I went online and looked it up. 215 million people, at least. Those are the numbers that they can record. I'm not talking about the people who listen to him through tapes and online or secondhand. And that's amazing. What a life that he lived. And people ask Billy Graham and say, what motivates you? And what made you special? And I think everybody talked to him would agree that he's a very, very humble man. He would tell you, what I preach is just the gospel. Nothing special. And in terms of him being we use the word great evangelist, but he never considered himself great. When people ask him, like, what is the secret to the success in your ministry, in your family, in your life? And I'm sure he will tell you, it's prayers. Billy Graham is a man of prayer, and he relies greatly on prayers. It was said that in the early time, in his early years in his ministry, that he spent so much time on his knees praying to God that the doctors are actually concerned about that he would destroy his kneecaps. So he's a man of prayer, and he would urge the people around him that you have to pray and you have to pray. And the prayers will make you a man of God, and God's presence will be with you, and you will live a life that's full of power and purpose and meaning. Now, for some reason, prayer has become a very, very difficult discipline for a lot of people. I know that because I went through that myself. We talk about prayer, why it's so good, but it's very, very hard to carry it on. So we've been talking about the different type of prayers. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Abraham, who was spending the quiet time, and he encountered God, and he took the boldness to negotiate with God. And even though at the end that he did not have full courage to present his true request, God still answered his unspoken prayer. Remember? Because Abraham really didn't care about the city of Sodom. He only cared about his nephew Lot, but he would not dare to bring out some kind of a selfish interest. But God still answered his unspoken prayer and saved Lot. And then last week we talked about Hannah. Hannah was living in great shame. He was really in the rock bottom in her life, and the pain and suffering that only she would know. Because people around her would say, why are you crying? Because you've married well and you live in a wealthy family. But the pain and shame and embarrassment, the doubt, the question about her own identity and self-worth is so personal that only she would know. In her great anguish, she would go to God, and in her broken heart and contrite spirit, and say, God, have mercy on me. And God answered her prayer. And those two are very special prayer. And today we want to talk to a person who prays all the time. His name is Nehemiah. And those of you, a lot of you are familiar with him. He's the one who led the very demoralized Jews who lost the nation, were scattered around, and finally they were allowed to return to their home, Jerusalem. Today we see a lot of refugees being expelled from Syria. That time the Jews were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. So they went back and they were able to rebuild the temple. But they were never able to rebuild the city. The wall was never built. Nehemiah, he took the courage and took on this very, it's the impossible, despite many interruptions, obstacles, mockeries, and threats, and he was able to rebuild the wall in 52 days. Now, Donald Trump is talking about building a wall separating us in Mexico. He's got so much money, and now it's more than a year. We haven't done anything yet. And Nehemiah, he had no control of the government, and yet he was able to build the wall in 52 days in the midst of all the oppositions. Now, many Christians, the Christian leadership workshop, they would love to use Nehemiah as a role model when they try to train people to be Christian leaders. Some of you have been through seminars and rally, I'm sure you heard a lot of talks about Nehemiah. And people, when people want to learn from him the leadership skills, I personally heard a lot of talk about his leadership style. But one thing we must not overlook is very, very important. It's something that truly made him special. It's prayer. He's a man of prayer. See, the work that he did was mission impossible. There's no way that can be done by a human being, by anyone's effort. He was blessed by God. His relationship with God is so close. And everything he was doing was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's successful. See, for those of us, those of you who want to learn to be a good leader and you want to study Nehemiah and learn from him his leadership skill without looking at his prayer life, it would be like you're watching the Winter Olympics. You're watching those figure skaters and you want to learn their moves, but you overlook how they train. The figure skating, the skaters, those moves are very elegant, but those are after many, many years of very hard training. The same thing. Nehemiah, you can see him as a successful, well-achieved leader that people would admire. But what made him special is really, truly, truly, it is many, many years of prayer. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, 13 chapters, there's a total of 11 prayers already written in this book. So hopefully today we can learn from him and how to be a man of prayer, a person of prayer ourselves. Okay, first of all, the Bible said when the people came from the Jerusalem and told Nehemiah about the situation, the ordeal that they're going on, that they were going through, Nehemiah was greatly troubled. His heart would go out to the people. Now you gotta understand, Nehemiah has got a very, very good job. He's the cupbearer to the king. So that's the most trusted position in the empire at the time. So for he himself, the war would not concern him. He got a good job, he lived well, likely had a good family too. If today, if we hear a problem like this, I think most of the people would just say, oh, I feel sorry about that, or you write a check and put it in the fund, and hopefully someone will use the money and do something. But immediately, his heart would go out to his kinsman who is going through this hardship. Now, and then he started to pray. This is a very interesting scenario that I observed. If you want to be a person of prayer, the first thing I think you have to do, it's still coming up. The first thing you have to do is you have to overcome your self-absorption. Because if you, all you care about is you, yourself, your own problem, you can start praying. But if your prayer item is always me, I want this, I want that, you know what is going to happen? Eventually, you're going to run out of items to pray. Your prayer life will be so dull that you will say, I'm not going to repeat myself. And God's not going to answer your every single prayer because God's universe is not going to evolve around you. There's so many things going on. Now, because you got to understand, prayer is about relationship building. This is the first mystery of the prayer that people don't understand. We think that prayer is about asking things from God. Wrong. Prayer is about building relationship with God. Asking for something is simply the motivation. Make you pray. That's why God doesn't give you everything. I've been talking about all this, and I think my kids know it by now. When they went to college, I would never give them a credit card that they could just keep swiping. Right? They would always have a limited amount, and they would use it up, and they would ask, and I'll have a chance to talk to them. So God doesn't give you everything because He wants you to ask. And that's every single time when we pray, it's a moment of relationship building. It's not about asking for something. So relationship building requires conversation and communication. So therefore, prayer is supposed to be a two-way communication. And also, you have to have more topics to talk about, because if every single time when you meet, you talk about the same topic, you're going to get tired. The more topics you have, the more dynamic your conversation is going to be. So if you are a person that who are more sensitive with the things going on around you, with the needs other people have, you're going to have more topics that you can go to God and pray. So that's what I have observed. This is a chicken and egg scenario. The more you pray, God is going to soften your heart and make it more tender. And the more tender your heart, the more you're going to pray. Because you're going to pray not only for yourself, you're going to pray for everybody. Everyone around you, you're going to pray naturally. So a person of prayer always has a tender heart, full of great compassion for the people around them. A person of prayer cannot be a person just keep praying for himself. No way. You can't. You're going to get sick of it. And God probably going to get sick of you too. So, you see that Nehemiah here, immediately he showed you his tender heart, his compassion. So those of you, you have a problem praying for a long time and persistently, first thing you might want to check, read your prayer journal and check your prayer list. How many me, I there? If every single item is me, I need this, you're going to have a problem maintaining a healthy prayer life. And then secondly, to be a person of prayer, you must realize God's greatness and human limitation. Right. Now, the problem with us is a lot of time when we run into a situation, when we run into a problem, we think we want to do something and fix the situation so badly that we are so quickly to go and try to make plans. And we'll move on it. The greater the problem, the faster we move on it. And then we ask for God's blessings. Nehemiah is different. When he saw a great problem, he would pray before he act. Building a wall is a big deal at that time. And you understand the context, you appreciate it. He's serving the king. The king could kill you anytime. It's not like today that you can mock the president. There's no process of appeal. If you get the king offended, he can just kill you right there. There's no appeal, there's no social media outlet for you to go and ask for support. And building a wall around Jerusalem is a risky business, because people will consider you as a treason. You're trying to rebel against the king. Now, however, Nehemiah did not allow this great need to paralyze him, because sometimes when we run into a big problem, we kind of like, for example, the building project. When we first came in and bought the building, a lot of people was trying to convince us that don't even think about it. The property is too big for you, too large for you guys to sustain. The due diligence itself is going to drain all your funding. Don't even think about it. How many people you have? Nehemiah, the greater the problem, the faster, the more need that he see that he saw that he would go to God, because he knew that no matter how great the problem is, God is always greater than our problem. Remember, no matter how great your problem is, God is greater than your problem. And then secondly, he will not rush into doing something, because he also realized another very important principle is, no matter how smart you are, God is much, much greater than us. No matter how much knowledge you have, how much work of preparation you have done, God always is much, much greater than we are, because we are only human. And then when Nehemiah prayed, he took prayer very seriously. And some of us, we take prayer very carefully. We treat it as like a magic spell. We just say the certain word and it's going to happen. No, God look at your heart. Nehemiah prayed very, very seriously. He approached God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. He said, he was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. When you want to talk to God, we have to take him seriously. You have to know who you're talking to. If the person is so powerful and important, you take him seriously, then you have to prepare your heart. Abraham was very careful, took God very seriously. Hannah took God very seriously. Everyone in the Bible, you saw that they found favor before God, they took God really, really seriously. And Nehemiah, he spent a lot of time weeping, he was mourning, because he wanted to focus on God on and also on the issue so they would pray properly. And we said this so many times. God find a broken spirit, broken heart, and a contrite spirit pleasing. I see the people come to the prayer meeting or they pray. They have a cell phone on. They keep checking the messages and their turn and they pray. I think we are mocking God. In the Old Testament, I think God will strike you right there and kill you. Because you're not taking it seriously. Because I get offended if you come to the dinner table with me with a cell phone on the table. If you're having a conversation with me, you're having dinner with me, I would expect the minimum respect you can show to me is put away your distractions, not to pick up any phone calls. So when we pray, are you praying in the midst of a lot of distractions? Or are you truly focusing on God? I think that's very important, because if you have a good prayer experience, it will prompt you to pray more. So he prepared himself well, and then the next thing is he prayed truthfully. Okay, we have to know how to pray. Those of you who went through discipleship, I'm sure you learned about this acronym, ACTS, right? All right, let's walk it through why it's important. ACTS, he would go through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And now let's see why it's important. First of all, he would come to God. He did not jump into his prayer request. He would address God's character. Why? Remember, prayer is about relationship building. It's not about just shooting a request. A meaningful conversation will lead to a deeper relationship. So make the conversation meaningful. You have to address the person that you're talking to. So you have to know who you're praying to. So he said, oh Lord God of heavens, the great and awesome God. So he's adoring God's majesty. And then the second thing he would say is, he who keeps the covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandment, he's praising God's faithfulness and love. So you have to know who you're praying to and the person's character. God, you're majestic. God, you are faithful. You keep your word. So I'm going to pray according to your word. And you are love. So I'm appealing to your love. That's why never jump into a serious prayer. In a prayer meeting, we always study the Bible. The Bible, God's word will help you focus on God, his character. And then when you pray in adoration, the adoration will come naturally. You don't have to search for words. And by through adoration, by focusing on God's character, it will help you find perspective. What perspective? God's perspective. You see things differently. Then when you pray, you know that you're praying according to God's will, and that will make your prayer so much more powerful. And the second thing, confession is very important. Confession. He said, we have sinned against you, even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the status, and the rules that you command your servant Moses. Now, I know that a lot of people have a problem confessing your sins. I know a lot of people have a problem. They would just say, oh God, forgive my sins. Whatever sins. And they cannot nail it down. Because it's very hard to look at your own dirt. We are in denial. But when you look at God's majesty, when you are focused on adoration, your confession will come naturally. When you acknowledge God's holiness, you're going to see your sinfulness in yourself. So, he was confessing the sins that the Israel people has been committing, to being rebellious. And then he said, even my father's house committed sin against you. We corrupt against you. Now, confession is very, very important in our prayer, because when we confess our sins, it will help us to discover the true root power of our root problem, so that we don't get blinded by the symptoms and we go after the wrong issues. We'll see that why this adversity, this hardship, and this challenge would come against us. Why would God allow it to happen? God allow it to happen. Nothing can happen to you without God's permission. But why would God allow it to happen? And too often, if we, without confessing our sins, we think that we know the solutions. So we just keep asking God and say, just give me this, give me that. I think the whole world will be fine. For example, recently we have this mass shooting again, and very quickly, people think that they know the solution to gun violence or gun control. Just take the guns away from the people, it'll be no problem. They're missing the root of the problem. The truth of the problem is probably just not taking the guns away from people. Some people suggest that, well, maybe we should bring the security guards to the school. Maybe that's not the solution. Maybe instead of bringing security, armed security guard to the school, we should invite God back to the school. And some people say, well, maybe we should arm the teachers with the guns. And we can minimize the casualties when that shooting happens. Again, why don't we think about arming the teachers with the Bible? We have done a good job shutting God out from the public domain. Our moral value is so low, so arbitrary. We don't even value one another's. There's so much hatred going on, and then we call ourselves the new culture is tolerant culture, when we cannot tolerate other people's intolerance. See, I've been in this country 40 some years now. I've never seen so much hatred emotions going on in the political world, in the news media, and even in the social place, a private working place. I've never seen anything like that. Where did it come from? Where the peace and love, joy, gentleness, kindness, where they go? They're all gone when we push God out of our life. Because we, as outside of God, there's nothing good in ourselves, but we think that we are good. We think that we can define what is truth, what is justice, and what is moral and what is not moral. So when you start confessing your sin, your prayer request is going to change. Instead of asking for revenge, you're probably asking for more grace for you to sustain. And instead of asking for God to change the people around you or your spouse, you might start to ask God to change you. Because when you change, when you start loving the people around you, they're going to love you back. Your prayer request is going to change. That's why confession is so important in a truthful prayer. And then Nehemiah would start to put in his prayer request. But he combined his thanksgiving and supplication together. He said, I remember the word you commend your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, and he would go on and on. He's asking according to God's faithfulness. He said, remember the word that you have promised. Okay? Now we're being punished because we did not follow your word. But you have promised to collect the people, bring them back if they return to you. And he put in the thanksgiving here, embedded in his supplication, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. In other words, he's saying that, thank you so much for redeeming us. You're the one who delivered us from the slavery from Egypt. You're the one who established this nation that even though we are so undeserving, you're the one who sustained us all the time. But thank you. But now, I'm asking this because you are so good. You have done so much, so many good things for us. And according to your faithfulness, I'm going to make this request. And you can see that he has his mind and goes to talk to the king. And he said, give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of the king. So he prayed. But then he had no idea what to do. I think he was just thinking about what appealed to the king, and then he wouldn't know what's going to happen. He gave this very good prayer, and he prayed. And he prayed for a long time because, according to the Bible, nothing happened for 4 months. So this is what we do when you pray. Sometimes God wants you to trust him and want to test your faith. So after you do it, even the most powerful model prayer, you might not see the result instantly. So you pray and you wait. So he waited for 4 months before he saw the open door. And something that we learn from Nehemiah, in addition to having a tender heart, compassion, in addition to knowing how to pray to God, he also knows the importance to pray all the time. He prayed without ceasing because he knows the importance of prayer. See, when I was in the fast food industry, there's something that's very important for all the fast food industry. Because when you go to a restaurant, you know what's the most important to you, right? Well, price is important, but that's not the most important. Not for the people in Church of Living Grace. You guys are so wealthy, you don't care about money. You want to taste good. The quality is good, it's important. But something is more important than quality. What is it? Cleanliness. You don't want to have food poison. So if it could taste very good, the price is right. But if every single time you go, come back, you have diarrhea, you may end up in a hospital, you're not going to go. So in the food industry, cleanliness is the most important. So our mantra at the time would be clean as you go. All the girls up front, they're supposed to have a clean rag. And there will be a bucket of sanitizing water they would dip into it and clean all the time. They should just clean all the time. Clean as you go. Being a Christian, most important. Pray as you go. Pray as you go. Nehemiah demonstrated that he prayed as he go too. So he have a elaborated, what's called major prayer that he just did, ACTS. But then he also is very good in doing short prayers. Pray as you go. Now when he saw this open door, when the king asked him and say, why is your face sad? That's an open door. Because you don't go to the king and say, king, I want to build a wall around Jerusalem. You're going to get your head chopped off quickly. Because what are you trying to do? So he has to wait. And he waited for the moment. The king said, why is your face set? So now he saw this open door. And then, before he would render his request, what he did? He prayed. So he said, then I pray to the Lord. Prayer is very important, even though when you don't think anything is happening after your major prayer, you have to keep praying. Now, talking about this building project, I still remember. We are in the Hickory Jefferson Road here, but do you know that how long we've been working on this building ministry? Those of you planted up on CCCNJ, you would know. Those of you join us later, you had no idea. It took us 13 years. 13 years when we left. We thought we were going to find a place quickly. We had the money, we had the people. This is New Jersey, right? 13 years, nothing. And I remember that when I was leading the building committee at the time, I was the building chair. We had so, when I it was so many bickering. So I had when I took over the committee, I said, let's not do anything. No more searching. Stop all the search. Come back and do Bible study. We did Bible study and prayer for 6 months. And people asked me, I was a deacon at the time, they say, hey Donald, what are we doing? This is not a prayer committee. We pray on a Wednesday, we have a prayer meeting. This is a building committee. I said, what are you building on? You guys fight all the time. Let's just pray. So we prayed for 6 months. Pray for 6 months. And then a year, 2 years, 3 years. And then you have a door open, but it's not a real door. And the door will close real quickly for 13 years. And then the real door open. But God spent these 13 years preparing us. And so we know that we can sustain this property, this size of property. And after 3 years, we have the resources, we have the capability and privilege to pretty much double the size, the usable space. Praise the Lord. So prayer would never go into waste. Prayer prepare you. So don't lose heart when you give you pray out of your heart and nothing happens. Because God simply wants you to wait sometimes. So he prayed. He said, I pray to the God of heaven. Now something about quick prayer and short prayer. No ACTS, okay? Because when the king asks you, why is your face sad? You say, wait a minute. You go and you do your adoration and confession and tongue. And the king will say, what is happening to you? The king probably gone already. Although he might think that you're crazy and send you to the mental hospital. Right? When you're driving, when the car's about to hit you, how are you going to pray? You pray, right? Lord, save me. You're going to say, oh, Lord of heaven and earth, my awesome... Okay, God will say, yeah, here, sit right next to me. Short prayer, you don't need ACTS because you've done your preparation work already. All right, that's when, like a figure skater, you're doing your move because you've done your training. So you just say, Lord, help me. So I would say that at that time, you'll probably just pray, Lord, bless my conversation and give me the wisdom and courage. Quick. It's called arrow prayer, direct. But you know what? You have to have good relationship with God to give this kind of direct prayer. Because children are very good with their parents. Dad, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry. Dad, I need money. Right? No ACTS. The children come to you, they're not going to say, Dad, you're awesome dad. And Mom, you're so tenderly loving. And then they never confess the sin anyway, the children, right? So they'll just jump right into like, Dad, I need money. My car just broke down. I need to have the tire replaced. And Mom, I'm hungry. But you've done your ACT work. You're enjoying a close relationship already. So he made a request. Now, we're going to go on and flash down all the prayers that he gave and very quickly. Now, when King gave him the job, but he did not know the king would say, you're going to want to be building it. But now he volunteered, he's going to build a wall. He left his good job to go and build a wall. And something that we learned, he faced all kind of hardships. Brothers and sisters, I want you to, especially deacons, co-workers, faithful co-workers. When you are doing God's work, doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. And try to be a pastor, you'll know. All right? When you feel that you're called to God to do God's work, you might see a lot of adversities because God allowed them to happen to you so that you remain close to you, relying on Him and giving glory to Him, not to yourself. You follow me? God would allow hardship to happen even though you're doing His will because He wants all the glory to be to Him and He wants to maintain a close relationship with you. So Nehemiah enter all sort of oppositions. The Sambalat, the governor of the Samaria, Tobiah, the Ammonite leader, And Gershom, the air chief, they did not want to see the wall built. So they would use, like, we try to drain this swamp. So he was facing this swamp. Like, everybody is trying to oppose him. So, but he did not lose heart. So every single time when he faced threat and opposition, what did he do? Instead of losing courage or try to retaliate, he would pray. In chapter 4, when he faced all sort of mocking and taunting, he prayed for courage and vindication. He said, "Hear, O our God, turn back their taunt on themselves, and do not cover their guilt." So he would just go for God for vengeance. When he heard that they tried to escalate their threat and try to harm him, he prayed for protection. In chapter 4, verse 9. When he was going through internal problems, the people that he was trying to serve, that they were oppressing one another. But after he resolved them, he prayed to God for favor. He said, "God, remember me. Remember the good thing that I did." Now, this is something we learn. Asking God to remember the good work that you did is okay. Alright? If you do it to show that He's a sovereign God and you're serving Him, it's okay. And then chapter 6, again, when the enemy is trying to kill him, he prayed for protection, he tried to pray for strength, and he never just tried to take things on his own hand. And then in chapter 13, now, he had no idea that after he built the wall, he ended up to be the governor for 12 years, Judea. And after that, he went back to the capital because, according to the traditions, that there's a rumor about him that he was trying to rebel against the king. So he had to go back to the capital, to Susa, for a year. And then when he returned, the whole place was messed up by the leaders who became corrupted with the local people. So he prayed four prayers on one incident and continued to pray for God for favor, for justice. We're not going to go through that because we don't have time. But the idea I want to bring to you is that Nehemiah is not only a person who took prayer seriously and focusing on God's character and confessing sins when he prayed. He's a man who prayed without ceasing. Every time when he prayer, it is his prayer lifestyle that will cultivate a very close relationship between him and God. And that will make his life a lot more meaningful, because without this, I think Nehemiah was a cupbearer and nobody would even mention him. And now he left us a tremendous spiritual legacy that will impact so many people. And he lived a life full of joy and power too. So brother and sister, you feel that being a Christian for a while, that you don't find joy, you don't find the power, this promise in the gospel, you might want to look at your prayer life. You have to be a person of prayer. First of all, begin by praying and asking God to give you a more tender heart, to overcome your self-absorption, to be more compassionate about the people around you, because that will enrich your prayer life. And then to become a personal prayer, remember that your prayer should be a two-way conversation. Don't just throw all your need to God. Try to talk to Him and listen to Him. But then try to pray at least one major prayer a day. Or to start with a week. Now, Billy Graham said, because I know that people always ask me, "Pastor Don, when is a good time to spend my quiet time with God?" Some people would do it when they go to bed. Some people would do it when they're driving. This is Billy Graham's advice. He said, "Give God the best moment of your day." So you decide what's the best moment of your day. But God deserves your best. He said, "Give God the best moment of your day." And you pray to Him. Take some time. Go through A, C, T, S. If you do seriously, that should take you at least 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And plus some Bible study, I would say you'll need about half an hour of quality quiet time every day. If you don't do that, You are shortchanging yourself for the beauty and the power of the gospel. It's just like you're buying a very powerful car, just let it sit in the garage. It's just for the show. You never ride it. And unfortunately, there's so many people today in the church. They really don't realize the true power of the gospel. What a shame. That's why you can't even witness. Because you have nothing to share with people. And then pray before you act and pray as you go. And enjoy the power of short and spontaneous prayer. Can you imagine a picture that everybody can pray? I think you can all pray a short prayer, right? Think about your prayer request right now. Let me try this. Think about what you want to say to God. Alright? I can do 30 seconds. I'll start with the worship chair. One short prayer.
God help me.
Okay, good. That's short enough.
God help me to see your will.
Okay. You can praise Him too, right? Short prayer.
Help me see your faithfulness.
Okay.
Thank you for everything you've done for me.
Very good.
Lord, fill me with love.
See?
God, save me from my job.
Oh, beautiful. You see, so easy. Why don't you just pray all the time, right? You pray all the time, short prayer. But remember, as long as you can do your ACTS in the morning, this will come naturally. You pray all the time. And that's what they call pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? All right? So I'm going to talk to Wing. I know that, it's just make-believe. Okay? Maybe he's holding some grudge against me. So I want to talk to him and say, God, help me. So I think, Brother Wing, can I talk to you? Because I pray already. I'm looking for open dialogue that he's going to tell me whether he's holding something against me. Right? So when you go out in the parking lot and you go to your Taco Bell or whatever sushi place and say, God bless me, a safe trip. You know what? These short prayers will draw you so close to God, because the more you talk to Him, the more you feel that He's with you and He is with you. So when your prayer becomes so much powerful, and your life will be full of joy too. And also, I also see people in the church, some church, and our church is one of this type of church, that when we see a sad face, when Ring tell me about his struggle and his problem, I would say, okay, I will pray for you. Pray for him right now. Right? So God save you from your job. Oh, let's pray for you right now, okay? So instead of saying, I'll go home and pray for you, and say, can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now? Yes, okay? All right? Join me in prayer, please. Okay? Oh, Lord, thank you for your love and mercy and your willingness to listen to our prayer. I'm praying for Tiffany right now. She's under stress at her workplace, and she really needs your help, your strength, and courage, and deliverance. And you want to move her on to another job, workplace. Lord, I believe that she's willing. And otherwise, we pray that you improve her working environment. And most of all, we want you to give her the strength to sustain. In your name we pray, in Jesus Christ. Amen. See? Can you imagine that our church is like that? That people are praying for one another in the cafeteria. People are praying for one another right after the worship hall. I think CLG will be totally changed. Amen? Rather than you collect a whole long list of a prayer item and go home, you go to the dinner table and say, I promise people to pray. You don't want to lie, right? Because most people lie. Most people promise you pray and they never pray for you. Do you know that? So that's why I want to pray you right on the spot, because I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to commit a sin when I'm trying to help you and bless you. So every single time, those of you can testify, you come to me, most of the time, I'll pray for you right at the spot. So if you don't do that, you bring home with that list, and you remember about it, you pour it out, and And Piana has already got the dinner ready, look at the kids around the table, and Leon would say, let's pray. Let me tell you, that's the worst prayer, because I'm smelling the food I want to eat. Now you're going to turn the whole family into atheists. So the power of short prayer is very, very important. If you want to live a powerful life. Right? And my prayer is that we're not afraid in public. You can do silent prayer and so quietly to one another. People know that you're praying, but they don't have to hear what you're praying about. I think God will bless Church Living Grace tremendously, and we will be with so much power too. Show me a prayer, please. Father God, we thank you so much for this privilege that we can pray. There's so much power can be unleashed from you to us. Lord, it troubles my heart that our brother and sister, we don't realize this power and we don't take advantage of this power, Lord. Lord, this is my prayer to you, that you take this yoke off us, this restraint, this sense of, sometimes, I don't even know what it is, maybe shame or fear of embarrassment. Lord, take them away from us so that we can live a free life in liberty, because you already set us free. And the prayer would become so freely that we all become people of prayer. And this Church of Living Grace will become a house of prayer. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit, your work will be so remarkable and visible to us, and we'll be so sensitive to your direction and guidance. The Church of Living Grace will be used tremendously by you to have a real impact on the society and community here. May all the glory be to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.